For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
So we're looking this morning at the humble shall hear. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the clarity of your word this morning. And Lord, we ask that this morning our hearts be open to hear from you, that every person here will hear from the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're looking this morning at the humble shall hear. The humble shall hear. There is a difference between humility and pride. Pride, in fact, a proud heart is an abomination to God. That's what the Bible says. So anything that's an abomination to God, you want to avoid. But a humble heart, humility is talked about right through the Scriptures. And it directly affects the way we think and what we do. We know that when we were born again, our spirit was made new. That which was born of the Spirit, capital S, is spirit, little s. So our born-again spirit now has been made new. But our soul, which is the mind, will and emotions, and our bodies need to be changed on a continuing basis. Let's have a look at 3 John 2. 3 John 2. In 3 John 2, we see the key scripture relating to our soul, which is the mind, will and emotions, prospering as we walk our Christian walk. As we walk our Christian walk, it's not just a random chance thing that happens. We have to be people that are diligent in the Lord. We have to be people that are humble in the Lord, that is, bow the knee to the Lord, that fear the Lord, that is, have great respect for the things of God and God himself. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So there is a connection between your soul prospering and you being in health and prospering in your life. As it says there, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." If your soul is prospering, then it will have a direct effect on your life, in your health and healing, and in your prosperity in your life. And that's what God wants. He wants his people to be in victory. He wants his people to bow the knee for his ways. If you look at verse 3, it says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." Now we know Jesus said, "Thy word is truth," in John 17:17. He said that. So we know that here he's talking about the truth being in people, the word of God being in people. You know, it's very important to expose yourself to the word of God, to get the word of God into you. Coming along, listening to godly sermons, that's a good way. But also in your individual lives, as you go through your life, you should be getting into the Word of God, studying it, reading it, meditating on it, getting it into you. And Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So not only having it in you, but also walking in the truth, that is, doing what God wants you to do, and speaking it. Speaking it in your life. How does this relate to soul prosperity? Well, you have to be of a humble heart. If you look at James chapter 4, verses 6 to 10, here we see that the Lord is wanting to raise people up. But he doesn't want people to raise themselves up. He wants to raise them up. He wants to prosper them. He wants to heal them. He wants to strengthen them so that we give glory to God. We put the Lord's way is the Lord in the right place in our life. James 4, starting from verse 6, says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." He gives good things to the humble, but he resists the proud. So you can see that pride's going to have an effect on the way you think. Because if you're thinking correctly, if your soul is prospering and thinking correctly, pride has to go out. You have to say, "I will not go my way, I will go God's way." That's how you walk in the truth. That's how you have the truth in you. Because you're saying, "Not my way, Lord, but your way. Your will be done." So you don't want to be in the category where God is resisting you. Because if God resists you, what hope have you got there? You don't want to be in the proud category. You want to be in the humble category. Verse 7 tells us a key there. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. You must submit yourself to God. You must say, "Lord, your ways are right." Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So if you don't submit yourself to God, it's impossible to effectively resist the devil. But if you do submit yourself to God, you've got God who's giving you grace, God's giving you strength, God's giving you prosperity and health, then you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. You can say, "In the name of Jesus, you have no part in my life, out you go." In the name of Jesus to the devil. Verse 8 says, "Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners." So get sin out of your life. "And purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Here we see where the soul is affected. The soul is made up of the mind, the will and emotions. The soul is affected. Do you want your soul to prosper? Then you can't be double-minded. And here God is saying, "Purify your hearts, ye double-minded." So you need to be thinking on the things of God. You need to be getting the Word of God into your thinking so that as you go through your Christian life, what are you doing? Well, you're thinking along the lines of what God says rather than what the newspaper might say or what the television might say or what some other people who aren't godly might say to you. You want to be going along the right way and not be double-minded. Verses 9 and 10. Verse 9 says, "Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness." So there are people who are laughing and carrying on and pretending that everything's okay when they should be repenting and mourning and weeping, not laughing but mourning, not pretending and having joy but having heaviness and saying, "Lord, I've done the wrong thing. I need to go your way. Lord, I want my soul to prosper in you so that I'm not double-minded, I'm not thinking on evil things and wrong things, but I'm thinking on you. I want to prosper in my soul, I want to prosper in my life." Verse 10 tells us, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." So you don't want to lift yourself up. He'll lift you up. He'll lift you up out of the miry clay. He'll lift you up out of bad circumstances. He'll lift you up and bring you into a wealthy place. He'll bring you into a victorious place. But you have to humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And that means if there's sin involved, that needs to be repented of and washed clean by the blood of Christ. So we need to have a clear path as we walk our way in the Lord, so that he can lift you up. He can lift you into health. He can lift you into strength. He can lift you into victory. It's him. So it won't be us, because God resists the proud, remember? But he lifts up the humble. So humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Say, not my way, Lord, but your way. And that's why you've got to get the word of God in you, the truth into you. Very important. Have a look at Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Jeremiah 6, 16. In Jeremiah 6, 16, we see the Lord giving an instruction to his people. And that instruction is to be walking in his ways, the good ways. Because there's a lot of people who are walking in ways that are not good at all. They're walking in the ways of the flesh. They're walking in the ways of sin. And they're thinking it's okay. But Jeremiah 6, verse 16, this is what it says. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. So what type of heart would say, we will not walk in your ways? What type of heart would say that? The proud heart, isn't it? The proud heart. So that proud heart cannot have rest in their souls. Because the way that God instructs here is ask for the old paths. Ask for the old paths. You don't have to have something new. Nothing's new to the Lord anyway. Ask for the old paths. The Bible shows us what those old paths are. Notice it says, where is the good way? That sounds like a prosperous, victorious way to me. And walk therein. What did we see in 3 John? We saw they were walking in the truth. Walking in the truth. So ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And this is the promise, and ye shall find rest for your souls. You won't be double-minded. You won't have torment in your mind and in your soul. You won't be thinking all types of wrong things because you're walking in the good ways. You're walking in the good paths. You're walking according to the truth of the Lord. As he says there, and ye shall find rest. Rest for yourselves. Rest is the opposite of turmoil and torment and trouble. Rest is about peace. Rest is about settling in and being calm and knowing that the Lord is your strength, the Lord is your foundation, and you don't have to be troubled, you don't have to be worried, you don't have to be fearful, because you've got the Lord who is on your side. And the Lord, as you humble yourself and say, I will walk in your paths, Lord. I will walk in those right paths. What's going to happen? He will lift you up because you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He will lift you up. You're not trying to lift yourself up. You're not trying to rev yourself up. You're saying, Lord, I will do what you say. I will ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk then. I will walk therein. And you've given me a promise, Lord. You've said you shall find rest for your souls. No more torment. See, this is what soul prosperity is about. Your soul's not full of torment and double-mindedness and all the wrong things because you're walking in the truth of the Lord. But verse 16 shows that there are those that say, we will not walk therein. It's an act of their will. We will not walk therein. But the humble will say, we will walk therein. You can see what I'm saying? We will walk therein. Whereas the proud will say, we will not walk therein. We will not walk therein. Verse 17 says, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. The sound of the trumpet is the call The call to do what God wants could be a call to fight the good fight of faith. But it's definitely the call to do the... It's a rally call to do what God wants. But notice, but they said, we will not hearken. It's an act of their will. We're not going to be listening to that. We will not hearken. You know, there's many people, even in the churches, who are saying, we will not hearken. We will not walk in the old paths. Why should I walk in the old-fashioned paths? Listen, the Lord has developed the church. Right up to now, Jesus said, I will build my church. Right through history, he's been building his church. He's going to continue to build it. And the Bible says he's going to be returning to present to himself a word-washed church without spot and wrinkle. It seems impossible now, but that's what's going to happen. So he is saying, you need to take into mind, into account, everything that I've been building in the church right up to now, historically, and what I'm going to do in the future. And you need to say, there are good things that have come from the past that are now good for me to walk in. The truth. See, this Bible has come from the past. It was settled way before I was born. The Bible has great history behind it. That's just one aspect. So the proud will say, we will not walk therein. The proud will say, we will not hearken. But what does the humble say? We will walk therein. We will hearken. And that's what we're talking about today. The humble shall hear. And if you say, we will walk, or I will walk therein, and I will hear, or I will hearken, then you'll have rest for your souls. You'll have rest for your soul. Praise the Lord. Jesus said that he had come and he would give rest to our souls. He says that in Matthew 11. We won't turn to that. But we've got to enter into that rest. Let's have a look at Hebrews 4, verses 9 to 12. And you'll see the connection between entering into the rest of God and heeding the word of God. Hebrews 4, verses 9 to 12. So don't be like that proud person who say, I will not walk therein. I'm not going to walk in those ways or those paths. I'm not going to hearken. I'm not going to do that. That's pride speaking. That's pride speaking. And God will not lift up the proud. What does the Bible say? He resisteth the proud. He resisteth the proud. So a humble heart is what he's looking for. The Bible talks about his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole world looking for that humble person, those humble people. God is looking for that. In Hebrews 4, we'll start from verse 9 and we'll go to verse 12. Hebrews 4, 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Now, this rest is for the people of God, okay? Those who haven't got Christ, they're outside of Christ, they're in sin, they're in the world, and they're of the world, they don't have rest. The Bible says there is no rest to the wicked. They don't have rest. Might seem that at times they have rest, but they do not have rest. And eventually, they will be in hell, where there is no rest at all. So we see there remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. And that's the rest of your soul. That's the rest that is needed for us to be able to live victoriously. That's the rest of the humble. Verse 10. For he that has entered into his rest, that's Jesus, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labour therefore. This is something we need to do. Labour therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So he links labouring into the rest of God with allowing the Word of God to come in and walking in that Word, walking in the truth. If you want to be a victorious person in Christ, you must be a Word person. You must get the Word of God into you, and you've got to walk in that Word so that you can have rest for your souls and enter into that rest. As it says there, let us labour therefore to enter into that rest. What are the labour we must do here? In Christ, we are to labour. We're not labouring for our salvation. That's already been bought and paid for by Christ. But once you're in Christ, he expects you to do things. He doesn't expect you to sit back and say, oh, whatever will be, will be. That's not the right attitude at all. He expects you to be labouring for him. And, as it says there, labour to enter into that rest which has been provided to you by God. That means you've got to be diligent in the Word of God. You've got to read it. You've got to listen to it. You've got to obey it. You've got to walk in it. That's proper labouring in the Lord. You've got to be a person of prayer. You can't just say, well, I'll pray whenever I feel like it. You've got to be diligent. You've got to pray every day. You've got to get into the Word of God every day. If you're a Christian, you do the right thing. Now, there are many people who say they're Christians that are not doing the right thing, sadly. But what we have to do is concentrate on the Word of God and say, I will walk in the truth. An act of your will. I will hearken. And then you'll have rest for your soul. Have a look at Proverbs 21 verse 5. Proverbs 21 verse 5. The humble shall hear. The humble shall hear. They'll hearken. They'll say, we will walk therein. If you're humble in the Lord, then you're not going to be resisting the things of God, as many do. Why? Because they often want to justify their own sin. They want to justify going their own way. But true freedom is walking in God's way, in Christ's way. Proverbs 21 verse 5. It says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want or lack. So here we see the thoughts of the diligent. Now the thoughts, that's part of the processes that are in your soul and your mind, tend only to plenteousness. Plenty in the Lord. Plenty of victory. Plenty of life. Plenty of prosperity. Plenty of health. Plenty of triumph. Plenty of the Word. Plenty of prayer. The thoughts of the diligent. Are you diligent in the Lord? If you're diligent in the Lord, your thoughts will tend only to plenteousness. You might say, well, how can I always be thinking about the thoughts of the diligent? What is diligent? People that labour properly in the Lord. Diligent, they set their hand to the plough. They don't just sit back and let things happen. They set their hand to the plough. They do pray. They do study the Word. They do get into the things of God. They are committed to the things of the Lord. They will walk in the things of the Lord. They will hearken to the things of the Lord. This is the way of victory. This is the way of strength. This is the way to have rest in your soul. Rest. This is the way to have your soul prospering. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. You see, you have to do things in the Lord. You can't say, well, I'm a Christian now, I'm going to heaven, and then do nothing for the Lord. And do nothing. But that's not the way of the Lord. Because as we read before, You're walking in the truth. You're saying, I will do what the Lord wants me to do. You're hearkening to the sound of the trumpet, the call to you saying, you need to do this. You're hearkening. Thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. So there is the good thoughts that you need to be thinking if you're diligent in the Lord. Look at Psalm 33 verse 20. We're talking about the soul. Psalm 33 verse 20. We're talking about the humble shall hear. The humble shall hear. You don't want to be part of those that are full of pride or have pride, because God resists the proud. Psalm 33 verse 20. We'll look a little bit about the soul here. The soul, mind, will and emotions. Psalm 33 verse 20. You know, God wants his people to have victory. He wants his people to walk in victory. As we saw before, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. But notice what it says in Psalm 33 verse 20. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. So your soul, that's something you have. You are a spirit. It's an inner man. You are a spirit and you have a soul. Your soul is connected to your spirit. Okay? Our soul waiteth for the Lord. Our soul is connected to the Lord. He is our help and our shield. So this is a good confession to make. This is a good thing to think about. God is my help. Everyone else might have deserted me and not thought much of me, but he's my help. He is my shield. And verse 21 says, for our heart shall rejoice in him, the heart is the inner man, because we have trusted in his holy name. We have trusted in his holy name. So your heart shall rejoice. This is all soul prosperity. Waiting for the Lord. Saying, he's my help. He's our help. He's our shield. Your heart, if you can't rejoice in your heart, how's it ever going to come out? Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our heart shall rejoice in him. Why? Because we have trusted in his holy name. Because we have trusted in his holy name. Have a look at Psalm 34, verses 1 to 4. And you'll see a little bit about the humble here. The humble. Psalm 34, verses 1 to 4. I will, this is an act of your will, this is what you will say if you're saying, I'm going to go this way, I will walk therein, I will hearken. You also say this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. This is good boasting, isn't it? My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Why? Because here, the humble is seeing a person whose soul is at rest, whose soul is doing the right thing. And they see that this person is continually blessing the Lord. Bless the Lord at all times. And the praise of the Lord is continually in their mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So what are you magnifying? You're magnifying yourself, or you're magnifying the Lord? What does the humble do? Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So you're magnifying the Lord in your life. He's bigger than any problem. He's bigger than any trouble. He is the one that you make your boast of. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. He is the one that has provided everything you need. He's the one that provided prosperity and health and strength and victory. As we read before, He's our health, help and our shield. These are good things to put into your mouth, because I will bless the Lord at all times. Why? Because He's my help. He's my shield. He's my fortress. He's my refuge. He's my saviour. He's my life. He's my strength. He's my rock. All of that. I trust in His holy name. The holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust in that. I will bless the Lord at all times. So it's not just a fly-by-night thing. We saw before, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. Here we should be blessing the Lord at all times, whether in the bad times or in the good times. We're always blessing the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Not as we see all around us, people profane words, blasphemy, words against the Bible. All of that should be way out of our mouth. What we should be saying is continually blessing the Lord, praising the Lord, exalting the Lord, exalting His word, exalting His ways. That's why He says here, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. So what are you concentrating in your mind, in your soul, your mind, will and emotions? You're concentrating on the Lord. Make your boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. This is what makes the humble glad, because they see those that are making their boast in the Lord, that their souls are prospering. And so therefore, they are getting stronger and prospering. And then we can say, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Magnify the Lord, not the problem. Magnify Him. Magnify the Lord, not everything else which is coming against you, because there's many that will come against you. There's many that are coming against the church, even in our society. There's no use us going down the gurgler and saying, oh, woe is us. We've got no hope. No, we look to the Lord. He's our victory. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter how disastrous it might look like. Doesn't matter how much opposition there might be. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. It doesn't matter. What does matter is you saying, I will hearken. I will walk in the right paths, the good paths. That matters. I will boast in the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That matters. That matters. Because then you can be effective for the Lord. Both small and great, educated, uneducated, doesn't matter. You get into the Word, the Lord will build you up. The Lord will get you. What does the Bible say? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. He'll bring you up to where He wants you to be. Okay? Too many are exalting themselves in their own ways. But the Lord says, walk in my paths, listen to me, hearken to me, hearken to me. Look at verse 22 in Psalm 34. It says, the Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. What's the Lord doing? Redeemeth the soul of His servants. He wants you to have rest in your soul. We read before, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. He doesn't want your soul to be tormented. He doesn't want you to be tormented, because even as thy soul prospereth, if your soul is prospering in the Lord, it'll have an effect on your health, it'll have an effect on your prosperity, on your circumstances. God wants you to be free and walk in that freedom. And that's what he says here. None of them that trust in him shall be desolate. The desolation is the exact opposite of prospering in God. God doesn't want you to be desolate. He wants you to trust in him. He wants you to trust in him. That's what he is wanting of his people. For them to trust in him. One last scripture. Psalm 41 verse 4. Psalm 41 verse 4. And I'm going to get into this area in the next sermon. Or next Sunday sermon related. He says, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. You know, part of that sin, people exalting their own ways, exalting their own selves, rather than humbling themselves before the Lord. But there is a healing for the soul. There is a healing that's available. We see it here. Heal my soul. And he relates it to, okay, things have come against the soul. Sin comes against the soul. The Bible says that fleshly lusts war against the soul. So we know that sin has a destructive effect on the mind, will, and emotions of people. How do you get out of that? As it says there, heal my soul. Repentance, believing that the Lord is the healer, healing your soul. As he says there, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. I've sinned against thee. Let's bow our heads and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the will that you have shown, your will that you've shown for us to be prospering and to be in health. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the people who hear this. Father, I pray that every person will bow the knee, be humble themselves, that there would be an opening for the healing of the soul if necessary, the strengthening and restoration. I ask that you help your people, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask.